Yeah, I have four drills. Three of them blew up. So I went and bought. I got sick of it and cussed a lot this morning, which is very good. It's a very good tool to have when you're building something. Cuss a lot. It makes you feel better. And so I went to the hardware store, and I bought the most powerful residential drill I could. 8.5 amps. I put it on my next deck screw, and it's so powerful, it blew it to pieces everywhere. So I was like, wow, I cannot go full tilt on this thing now. So I had to partially squeeze the trigger for the rest of the way. So yeah, home ownership. Great times, let me tell you.
Sounds like it.
So I hear you got to experience government railways. How was that?
I don't know Amtrak was government. I thought it was a private.
Nope, it's owned by the National Railroad Passenger Corporation. It's a U.S. government corporation.
Oh, nice. Well, it's surprisingly a little more glorious than flying in coach. But still has that I'm on a bus feel to it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do you know why Amtrak was formed?
Because we needed railways and things to transport from one side of the nation to the other on railways? Because we weren't flying all yet?
All of the railroads were required by the federal government to operate passenger service in addition to freight. And they were going bankrupt left and right in the 70s because they couldn't afford the passenger operation. So the government bought them all. They took over all passenger rail to lift the burden off of the private sector. And that's why we have Amtrak.
Oh, that works. Government bailouts.
Yeah. Politicians thought it was going to shut down after a few years and give railroad the last hurrah. Well, so that was the 70s, and it's 2018 now, and it's still here.
Yeah, it was a hell of an experience. I don't think I'm ever going to do railroads that are longer than 8 hours again per trip. That was just kind of at a point it became self-abusive, and you're on a train, so you can't escape. Overall, it wasn't a bad experience. Like, it wasn't, there's no particular moment I was like, oh, this is horrible, get me out of here. It was just kind of like, I can sit for 16 hours straight and be pretty much just fine, but, like, obviously you get antsy, and my poor hyena, she was, like, antsy as hell by about 4 hours in, so we were kind of wandering around, doing things, doing whatever you could on a train. We did go to the observation lounge, we did go to the restaurant car, and they're very nice. The food's pretty good, too. Hella pricey, but still good.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, yeah, it wasn't bad. It's just I won't do it if it's more than 8 hours again. So we're talking about for BLFC next year. Yeah, we'll do it for BLFC next year. That would be a lot easier than driving the 8 hours. But overall, I think what kind of made me resent it the most was it was 16 hours on a train, and then I was in California for roughly 36 hours before I was back on the train for 16 more and then out of there. So it was like a pretty one-to-one ratio of travel time to actual vacation time.
Was it cheaper for you to take the train than it was to get a flight ticket?
Significantly. Even looking at flights, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks out, it was still like $300 per person one way, like not one way, but round trip. And for the train itself, it was $202 for two people round trip.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
Though you also, Salt Lake's a smaller airport compared to like where I'm at in Chicago, so you don't have as much competition either.
It's an international airport, so it still does its thing.
Yeah.
But while I was in California, we did have fun. Got a rental car and drove through San Francisco. We drove over a bridge that we were like thinking was the Golden Gate Bridge. So we drove onto this bridge and we were like, "Oh, this doesn't look like the Golden Gate Bridge, but this is the road that says goes to the Golden Gate Bridge." So I guess this is it. Woo! And then we kept driving a little bit further and we're like, the Golden Gate Bridge kind of revealed itself from around the mountain. We're like, "Okay, that's the Golden Gate Bridge. We're good now."
weren't the streets in San Francisco just trippy with how much they go up and down?
Yes. That was harrowing. There was like a, what, 60 grade, like, climb? It's horrible.
Yeah, and your car, unless you have that feature in your transmission that locks it, your car will roll backwards when you first take your foot off the brake if you're on one of those
streets. I think that's pretty much standard now in all automatic transmissions, and thank God I went with automatic and not manual, because I would have gone coasting right back down that hill as I tried to catch it
here. Yeah, when I drove through San Fran in my mother's car, we were driving an FJ Cruiser, and it did not have that feature. And you learn to tap the brake and gas at the same time, just, you know, so that way you had enough oomph to go. And nowadays, you can't even do that in a modern car, because if the computer senses you're on the brake and gas, it thinks you're trying to do an emergency stop and kills the engine.
Yeah.
So, good times. But yeah, the people in San Francisco were a blast, but man, were there a lot of just hippies, and I remember seeing drug deals going down and prostitutes everywhere. It was just a free-for-all.
Even in the nicer place. So we went to Monterey. That was ultimately the vacation destination. Even in, like, you know, upscale Monterey, it had a lot of like a lot of transients. And at one point, like, I was just walking along the boardwalk along with Gina and I. We were just walking along. We'd had good breakfast, and I stopped, got myself an ice cream cone, you know, a little birthday treat to myself. And I'm just walking along the pier, and this other, like, this hobo just starts harassing me. Oh, you got an ice cream cone. How much did that cost you, man? Isn't that great? Oh, look, he's ignoring me. And I'm like, oh my God, just fuck off. All I want to do is enjoy the ice cream cone. I've never, like, there's a bit of a disconnect there. Like, at least the homeless population in Salt Lake City is not as in your face as they are out there.
They, we're kind of going through that in Chicago, because for a long, long time, Chicago police in the nicer areas would not tolerate that. If a homeless guy was in your face, they would run you off using any excuse they could. Then there was a lawsuit and blah, 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 because they've got freedom of speech. So now it's back to where they're in your face again. And, you know, it's the discussion we should have as a society is, you know, I'm all for people being able to go where they like, but I should be able to travel in peace from one place to another and not get harassed. And so we got to strike this balance. And in the case of, like, San Francisco, I think they've gone way too far in favor of individual rights instead of trying to balance that with the benefit of the collective, if that makes sense.
I can kind of understand. Overall, it wasn't, like, detrimental. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, this is terrible, this was a bad idea. I definitely enjoyed the vacation. It was really nice to actually, like, walk on the beach again for the first time in so many years.
You take a rail car or a streetcar, I mean?
To where? What do you mean? Oh, you mean in San Francisco?
Yeah, the cable car system.
No, we did not stay in San Francisco for too long. We arrived from our train at about 3 p.m., and then from there, we were going to drive straight to Monterey, but traffic was already pretty bad, so we're like, well, let's just wait until night falls. So we kind of wandered around San Francisco for a little bit, went to the Apothecarium, which is a very, very upscale dispensary. I did not realize my driver's license had expired, so I did not get the full experience, unfortunately. My girlfriend, however, did. She was able to go in and... she bought roughly $200 worth of edibles. To which, after she revealed all this, I was like, okay, how are we going to get that back to Salt Lake? And just collectively, we kind of had this, oh, shit moment. Because, like, there was already a DEA inspection on the way into Las Vegas from Salt Lake. So we're like, well, we know that they do that. So we're like, okay, well, maybe we can just ship it. And like, no, that's felonious to ship drugs through the mail. So what ended up happening was at the end of the trip, we left. We had one really good night at the end there, and then we left probably $100-some-odd worth of pot as a tip for our maid.
Well, it's California. They'll appreciate it.
They'll definitely appreciate it.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Then again, you know, if the package was shipped to you from an anonymous source, you didn't know.
We really didn't want to push. Like, there's a difference between a misdemeanor and a federal felony. We didn't want to risk that.
I really think that we should just legalize the damn thing and call it a day.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad you were able to partake in the California Grade 420. It's supposed to be really good.
Unfortunately, it still has the same effect on me as all the other stuff I've had, where I get the spins and I just don't feel good throughout it. So, yeah, it's not my thing, unfortunately.
Well, at least you learned, you know, by having it from the high quality stuff that it's probably not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
So, nothing wrong with that. So what about you, Fleeks? Anything new?
good question. I didn't really do a lot over the past week except working on commissions and learning a bit of new stuff like Unity and C Sharp.
Ah, learning some new languages.
Yeah, practically. Yeah, I kind of think it would be nice to kind of be able to see how game making works and to actually, it's a fun thing to create your own little games.
Does this have anything to do with Cobalt Garden?
No, actually, I started learning Unity even before we played Cobalt Garden.
Ah, okay.
Also, I will try to learn 2D game development.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's tricky. I remember probably back in 2008, 2007, this software is still around, but there's a program called Game Maker, and it was really quite all the rage for what it was at the time. It was kind of its own engine, but then you could use its version. It had a deviation of C++, I believe, for its programming language. It created some interesting games.
Undertale, for example.
Yeah, Undertale. That was from the much more recent version of the software. But like back in 2007, 2008, and that era, it was tragedy. maybe you've heard of the Metroid Prime 2D project. It was initially using the Game Maker engine, and it fell really short.
It could have been worse. They could have been used. They could have used the RPG Maker.
If we're being honest, I don't know. Maybe you guys think this is silly, but my first introduction to building your own games, even in college, when we went through a programming course and we had to do silly things, was actually text-based. You basically built your own role-playing game, and you did text commands to do the next thing. It was pretty cool. So the game makers they have today is just awesome compared to that, even.
Creating your own framework worlds is not game development, Storm.
It's a text game. There was a time and a place back in the 80s you could go to the store and buy a text-based game. You load it in a 5.5-inch floppy and play it.
those are actually pretty cool. There are some pretty cool ones. A lot of text games like were doing, how's it called? They were placed in the Lovecraftian universe, and you could do everything. You could put I can remember a game where you had a microwave and you could put everything in the microwave, even key objects, and it was fun.
The one I played, I forgot the name of it, but it was basically you had to solve a murder mystery. You were at a school and students kept dying, and you had to figure out what it was, because it wasn't like someone was stabbing him or anything. It was a mysterious illness. And turns out it was some evil guy in the lab was poisoning the food. But you had to go through this scheme, and you thought it was the headmaster, and then you thought it was a bully. And it was all text-based, all conversations, and it's just, it took hours, and it was lots of fun. It was almost like playing a movie. The only difference is you had to figure out what to say to get to the next thing. In some ways, if done right, I almost think text-based gaming can be just as fun even today, if it's really immersively written.
Well, it's where, that's where the whole role-playing like thing came from. Like, I mean, aside from D&D and stuff like that, but like how it's so kind of prevalent in like text chat culture, like the little RP, you know, asterisk shit.
Hey,
actually, my first experiences in programming of games, you mostly start with calculators because it's a good way to learn a language. A programming language. I actually started up with QBasic. QBasic was really like...
Oh, QBasic. Man, you're bringing back memories.
QBasic's a good language. It was Python because it was advertised to be so easy, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it.
How bad? I was forced in school to do QBasic, so...
I didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah, QBasic. We were learning that. We got our feet wet in Python a little bit. And then we learned how to make some simple scripts in both DOS and Linux. You know, just kind of get your feet wet with different concepts of what programming can be, which range from scripts all the way to proper code. It's all a form of programming, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you guys...
Now that we're about 17 minutes into the show, maybe we should introduce ourselves to potentially new listeners and listeners who have forgotten our names and stuff.
Sure, let's do that.
Yes.
This is episode 65. No, wait, hang on. I think we had some miscounting going on here. This is episode 66 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
And I'm Core Griffin.
No. We're not doing that. That's over. That moment is past.
Our eager hearts beat pointed up with pride, we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out, we claim the sky. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania, 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 forever free Badania, Badania, Badania. Badania, 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 forever free Badania. Always be beeping.
Are you sure? Yeah, it's so much fun. You can have Core Griffin, Core Peck Peck.
So I haven't gotten to editing the last episode that you and you Teanos and Tweets did. Was that what spawned that? Was that where all that spawned from? Where, what happened? I was without cell service on a train, so all this stuff was happening, and like occasionally I would get a blip of service and be like, wait, shit, what? What happened?
You mean about the disciples of Core, or
yes,
were they the That was just tweets.
It's Tweets was being silly. Tweets started renaming people. Other people saw people getting renamed and jumped on. And next thing you know, all of the flock decided they were a variation of you. And I've never seen so many Cores in my life. It was like, oh my god, Cores multiplied. I mean, I know you were a frisky raven, but good gosh.
I'm a loyal raven. What are you talking about?
Yeah, loyal.
You can be frisky and loyal.
I don't know.
There you go. There you go.
Tweets was just starting a cult around you because you were gone.
I feel like natural. You know, here I was traveling through the mountains of California, and when I emerged on the other side, I had a cult following. I think that's happened before.
Just like something is burning. Be right back.
Oh, okay. We'll wait. It's cool. Fire.
Yes, okay. That's what I figured.
It all started when Tweets figured out that you're timeless, ancient, and then it just escalated.
Yep. Drezel set the deck on fire. Not a big deal.
Oh, okay. We're all good.
Okay.
He's grinding down the screws that couldn't make it all the way, so that the way they're smooth. And yeah, he set the wood on fire.
Goddamn dragons, man. Yeah. I've warned you about this.
Yeah, you have, but unfortunately, when I went mate shopping, I didn't read the fine print, and I'm stuck with them. So 12 years now, I've been stuck with them. You kind of get used to periodically replacing possessions due to fire. It's just come with the territory.
I had a roommate who managed to set the most inane things on fire without even trying. He set the toaster on fire, just cooking toast. He caught the blender on fire, trying to make smoothies.
How the fuck do you set the blender on fire?
And then one time he put a bag of Olive Garden breadsticks in the microwave without realizing the inner part of the bag is foil and lit the microwave on fire.
Oh, well. Yeah.
He also fell asleep while cooking a pizza once, and I got home from work, and the pizza had been in the oven for probably about 3 hours at that point, and it had been reduced to its most basic carbonic form. It was pitch black.
Oh yeah, my roommate was like, do you know those plastic things you get when you order, like, I don't know, French fries or something from the delivery service? Those thermo styrofoam cases?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Casings? Yeah, and he thought it was able to put it in them, that they were, yeah, good to put them in the microwave. They melted.
Yeah.
And yeah. Afterwards, there wasn't anything of this package left. It just vaporized. But those vapors were in the whole apartment. So
it was just basically, like, everybody lost a few brain cells that day.
And another day he put on the wrong plate on the oven. And yeah, there was a package of salt standing on, and afterwards I learned that salt can melt, like, on the stove. Yeah. I mean stove, not oven. I mean stove. Yeah, and
I didn't.
My favorite.
Okay, go ahead.
My favorite thing. My favorite set on fire story is my grandmother. Met my grandma's house. My family has this nasty tradition, of which I do not participate in, and where every time bread is on sale, they buy a bunch of loaves of bread at once and throw all but one into the freezer. And then you just take one out when you want it, and you let it warm up. Well, my grandmother decided she needed more bread, and she didn't have time to let it warm up. So she took it out, and she put it in the microwave for it to de-thaw. Well, she forgot that on the bread bag, keeping the bread bag sealed, was a twist tie thing from the bread manufacturer that actually had just a little bit of metal in it.
Oh, nice.
So she put it in for 2 minutes, and I'm in there doing my homework because I'm just a grifflet at this point. And I remember just seeing a total light show going on in the microwave.
And you walked in the kitchen, and Grandma was dead.
No. Basically, even better. She came back in the kitchen about a minute and 10 seconds in, and I'm just watching this live show laughing, and she starts screaming in every form of Spanish imaginable.
Good.
And runs and unplugs the microwave and throws it in the garage. I think she was convinced the microwave became possessed by the demon or something. There was no questioning. It was just gone. Just boom. Goodbye, microwave.
That sounds like the most abuela thing to do ever. It honestly does.
I love my grandma.
I don't know why that reminds me of the scene in now I always forget the name of it. Paranormal Activity. In like Paranormal Activity 4 or 5, there is a Simon Says toy that gets possessed. And the kids are playing with the possessed Simon Says toy. And as funny as this scene already is in your heads, the grandma walks in, and they're asking yes or no questions to the Simon Says toy, where it lights up green or red, depending on the answer. She sees this, grabs the Simon Says toy, hucks it against the wall, and starts lecturing the kids about possessed toys.
Grandma saves the day every day. Love Grandma. She got me out of so much trouble. Oh.
And then I think the kids ended up getting like a Ouija board later. So beware. Simon Says leads to Ouija.
Yeah, my mother, when she was young, my grandfather got her a marching band toy, basically. No, a marching army. And the way it was is there was a flag in the front, and if you turn the flag to the left, all these men would march to the left. Same thing if you turn it to the right. Well, you know, naturally being a little girl, she put her fingers in between the feet as they marched, and it pinched her finger. So she screamed. She wasn't really hurt. It was just a little pinch. The grandfather, in true fashion, rest his soul, came in the room, overreacted, took the marching men, threw it against the wall. Heads went everywhere. She started crying because, you know, now her Christmas gift's been destroyed. And the next day got the bicycle she'd been wanting for an entire year.
That's how you get what you want. Self-injury.
Yes. Yes, but that's how my grandfather was. He felt so bad. But, yeah, that's just demon-possessed toys. If it even looked like it was going to slightly hurt you, there was just no having it. But are you guys ready to move on to this week's topic?
Wait, we have a topic this week?
We do. Yes. Oh.
We seem to have a topic this week. And it's actually because we are talked about programming, and if you have a programming job, for example, you're not moving much, right? Normally, Storm.
A programming job, you're not moving much, huh?
I mean, you're sitting in your chair the whole time. Oh,
yes.
And
yes, that's true.
Doing your programmer, living your programmer life, and you don't have much change. Chances to move, probably.
Most IT people live what we call sedentary lives. They get up, they go sit in a chair, and that's the full extent of their activity for the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that because, yeah, what's the topic, Storm?
The topic this week on Bird.life is diets, exercise, and life habits for better living.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you sound very excited about the topic. Why, Storm?
Because this topic really speaks to me. Because I used to be 425 pounds, and I'm down to 250. And I had to go through this journey. Thank you.
Yay.
And I had to make some changes and go through some big come-to-Jesus meetings with myself to get there, and I would love to share some advice that works for me, as well as hear what your advice is from both of you, respectively, as to what works for you guys in your lives.
I think this is pretty applicable. We have quite a few birds trying to, like, you know, diet or improve their lifestyle and get healthier right now. I think this is perfect.
Yes. First thing I want to say, though, is it's not just about food. If you want to have better living, if you want to get to the weight you want, you've got to look at every aspect of your life, from what you eat to your relationship with food to stress management in general. And for me, part of the reason why I was such a large and in charge griff back in the day is I discovered I was using food as a coping mechanism. So whenever I was upset or stressed, I would even subconsciously munch on something nearby. I always kept a little bit of snacks on my desk, etc. I didn't even think about it. And so the hardest part for me was to learn to, when I was having a stressful moment or a depressed day or something was going on, to redirect that mental energy into something more productive. And case in point for me, instead of eating now, I actually go to the gym and just go on the elliptical, lift weights, do something for 20 to 40 minutes and tire myself out. Because while I'm doing that, I still get endorphins released because I'm very hot, usually in the moment, got good music going. And I end up getting that happiness craving I want out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I can actually relate to that quite a bit. I still have a bit of an issue where, like, when I'm stressed or anxious, I need something to snack on. Like, I have to, like, it helps me feel less stressed if I have something to snack on. So, one, trying to fight that that urge, because college is stressful, work can be stressful.
I'm into that. Oh, God, yes it is.
I've ended up kind of, like, starting my own diet and trying to work past it myself. And I think, one, the taking away the ability to snack is probably the most important thing, especially when you do have a more sedentary lifestyle. You're just sitting there. If there's nothing available for you to snack on, no, you're kind of without luck there. So I've come to the point where I've started counting calories, and within the past month, I've started doing the keto diet along with a few other birds in the crew as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm doing like a keto. I'm doing the two, but I generally never ate like. I'm not a huge fan of those typical snacks like potato chips or popcorn or whatever. I mean, I like it to eat it, for example, in the cinema, like nachos with cheese or something, you know. But generally, I'm not a person to eat senseless snacks next to whatever I'm doing. What I do like next to things I'm doing is like I'm vaping. Like that's my thing I'm doing next to other stuff.
Vaping?
But yeah, vaping.
Vaping. I know vaping's helped me as well. It's helped a lot of other people I know as well, because it gives your brain something to focus on.
Yeah, or I just chew a chew gum. That's the thing. I'm just not a huge fan of those typical dry snacks and stuff. I'm doing calorie counting. I started this like 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. I was really like you really, if you start doing that, you're learning how much freaking calories some stuff has, and how much of unnecessary empty calories you're actually taking in. Yeah,
thank you for saying that. Thank you so much for saying that, because not all calories are created equal.
People yes
forget that.
Yeah, for example, it's a difference if you're like, for example, that's a very popular example, if you're eating potatoes or if you're eating sweet potatoes, they have like a different kind of calories. I'm not too deep into the whole nutrition science, but it's better for you to eat sweet potatoes than normal potatoes, for example, what I figured out, because the whole carbohydrates are slightly different. I'm not understanding much of it, so I can't really tell, but yeah,
well, there's a lot of things you can replace. Because this is something I'm actually totally unfamiliar with.
Oh, I could go into this pretty deep.
Give me a basic once over of what like the difference between empty calories and normal calories are.
Okay. I'll do that, but I just want to make one quick little statement, and then I'll answer your question. With regards to what you're doing, Fleeks, everything you've been doing, Fleeks, so far is great, but the one thing my doctors and my nutritionist force us to get rid of on day one is gum. Because when you're chewing gum, your body thinks you're getting ready to eat, and your stomach starts producing the acid as if you're getting ready to eat. And if you don't eat, because it's only gum, the next time you eat, you can accidentally trick your body into going into what's called starvation mode, and it will want to hoard calories. You've got a balance there. It's really interesting. Most people don't know that. I didn't know that, but there's a lot of science behind this. To answer your question, Cora, what's the difference between a empty calorie versus a good calorie, let's just call it that, one that your doctor would want you to eat that's good for you? Well, the easiest example I can give you is this. You know, let's say you have a Twinkie bar, okay, and the Twinkie bar is 230 calories. that's going to be empty calories. They're way up there. So it's garbage calories. Yeah, it's sugar, and if your body's craving sugar and you really need a sugar hit, okay, great, you needed the sugar. You probably could have got by eating a third of a Twinkie bar, but there you go. However, if you had 230 calories of, let's say, a protein such as a piece of chicken or a piece of pork, or 230 calories of even pasta, if it's a small thing of pasta that's mixed, even though that has carbs in it, if it's a smaller portion size, it still works out well for you. It's all about balances. That's the whole thing with my diet.
Yeah. The calories.
The thing about empty. I wanted to, empty. Okay. I know what empty calories actually. Empty calories is not a very scientific thing to say. It's more like empty calories. You say if those calories come mostly like from sugar or fats, and if the food doesn't contain much more like especially beverages that are over sugared, that then you're taking a lot of empty calories or candy or stuff.
Right. And basically, if it has no nutritional value.
Yeah. No vitamins, no minerals, no protein, no fiber, no essential fatty acids. That's. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And for all of you that go to McDonald's and order four large cheeseburgers and a Diet Coke, just know. Coke is not saving you.
And alcohol is also an empty calorie, because it's like that. As far as fat is like 10 to 9 calories per gram. Alcohol, like ethanol, is I think it was like 6 or 7 calories, and sugar, depending on the kind of sugar, about 4 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. The trick
to per gram, that's what I want to say. Yeah,
the trick to losing weight, honestly, guys, for all of you listening, and I'm sure you both can attest. Basically, if you look at it from a scientific standpoint, in simplest terms, you need to take in less calories per day than your body burns in a day. So, if you need 2,000 calories a day to live, and you only take in 1,200, your body will go into your fat cells and start burning it. However, you need to not put your body into starvation mode. So you need to eat enough to where your body knows it's not starving. The biggest thing, because, you know, like you guys said, you're on the keto diet, and that's awesome. I know people that are on an Atkins diet. I know people that, I mean, there's so many different diet names these days. One person I know is on the Platon diet, something like that.
Paleo diet?
There you go, paleo diet. Anyway, start with a P. I'm on the portion control diet. And the reason why I'm on the portion control diet is, for me, that was the most realistic diet, because I love eating pasta. I like burgers. I like steaks. I like a wide variety of things that the typical American diet offers. And most other diets you see have you not eat something at all. And that's not going to work with me.
Yeah. So for me, nobody.
So what I do is I eat whatever I want. But the difference is I have a food log, just like you guys, you know, count calories. I have a food journal where I literally take pictures of each dish I eat throughout the day, and then I put it in a journal. And there's tools online that allow you to estimate the calorie value of things. So I try to stay under a certain calorie amount each day. And I make sure I eat 6 times a day. So I have small meals. So 3 small meals and 3 snacks.
Sorry, you cut out and it sounded like you said I eat 6 tons a day.
It's amazing. I eat tons of food and I just lose weight. It's great.
The Griffin diet.
That's right. Just only eat 6 everything. Tons. Only 6 only, tons.
Instead of 10 tons.
We're the most affordable pets money can buy, let me tell you.
Jesus.
but 6 small meals a day, and you will be able to not only lose weight, but for me, I never feel hungry because I've got calendar alerts, and when the calendar alert goes off, it's time to eat. So I'll go and I'll have a granola bar, or I'll have a handful of raisins, or an apple or whatever it happened to be at that time for my snack or small meal.
But that sounds actually pretty good. When I said I do keto, I'm not doing it always. I'm only like if I had a day where I ate a lot of carbohydrates. I'm starting to let me collect my thoughts. Then I'm doing keto until I get into ketosis and actually feel losing weight. For me, it's kind of like if I go into ketosis, I'm losing like three kilogram in 1 to 2 weeks. That's really like that. That's why I tried it and it had success. So I think like, oh, that's cool. Also, I'm kind of generally reducing. I'm not taking in any sugar, any crystallized sugar, because I feel like that's generally healthier for you. And what I'm also doing is I'm replacing a lot of like noodles or whatever or bread. Or something. I'm replacing that with greens, and
so for those generally who are not familiar with what the keto diet is, it is removing carbohydrates from your diet.
Yes.
So it's taking out milk, bread, sugars. Weirdly enough, not cheeses, because they don't actually have carbohydrates in them, but milk does. Milk has a lot. Basically, carbohydrates are it's a simple substance that breaks down into sugar very quickly, and your body can use that sugar by storing it as fat also. So when you are on the keto diet, you're denying your body those carbohydrates. So you only have the fats to burn. So your body goes into that fat burning emergency starvation mode that Storm is talking about. However, it doesn't feel dire. It doesn't feel like starvation. There is a brief period where you may feel a little bit sick because your body is switching over from its typical burning carbohydrates to burning fats purely. But it does have some pretty tremendous results. After the first week of being on the keto diet, one, you're still counting your calories, so you're not just, you know, taking in a lot of food. After the first week, I had already lost about 5 pounds. I then kind of paused for a week there, and then I lost about another 5 pounds on my third week. I would say it's a good diet. I miss cereal a whole lot, but I mean, honestly, I was talking about this in the Bird Crew a few days ago, where I have had bacon every meal or every day for the past 5 weeks now, and it's still not old. I still love bacon. It's amazing. So it does have its pros and its cons. It's very meat, cheese, and vegetable based.
Yeah.
But overall, it is, I feel like I sound so melancholy right now. I'm sorry about that, but it is actually, I stand by it as a good diet.
I generally when I try to get into ketosis, I'm just eating everything that has less than 2 calories per 100 grams. That's the thing I'm looking at, and it's a pretty neat way for me. And what's also important, if you want to do low carbohydrate diet, is that you eat a lot of greens and a lot of vegetables that do not have a lot of calories. And if you actually manage to get into ketosis, you can eat more carbohydrates again, but if you're like wanting something sweet, eat fruits. That's always better. Like
you're gonna want fruits. To avoid fruit. Eating like any carbohydrates while you're on the diet. You're gonna want to stay under 50 grams.
That's... What I want to say is, like, it's very dangerous to just to take ketosis as an only meat diet.
Oh yeah, like you will still need your vegetables and all of your vitamins and stuff.
Yeah. Because actually, a friend did this, and that's why I want to say that. And they got like heart rhythm problems with their heart over this.
Mm-hmm. There are risks.
Yeah.
To if you go keto, but you don't follow the instructions.
Yes.
And like you said, you know, have vegetables or a multivitamin and other things mm-hmm. to supplement. You absolutely can hurt yourself if you're not careful. But then again, I think that's true of any diet if you don't follow the instructions.
You need your fibers, believe me. You need your fibers.
Do you remember on the Atkins diet, like two or three people got critically ill and one person died? And then there was this whole big scandal about it. The Atkins diet's not that dangerous. It's just these people weren't following.
Fun fact, even my nutritionist, when you're just starting out, it's not at all uncommon to start you out on that Atkins diet for the first month or two to get the initial weight loss in, but they always end up transitioning you. And that is for health reasons. And if you are listening and are more interested in wanting to know what I did as well for the portion control diet, there's something very key here that the portion control diet preaches that other diets, I think, don't. And that is when you're eating your meal, you have to weigh the meal. It needs to stay under a certain weight, usually 8 to 10 ounces at absolute most, ideally 6 ounces. Per meal. Another thing is when you chew, 20 chews per bite of food. You literally have to take it in your mouth and chew it 20 times. And people think that's nuts. But the reason why the people that created this diet want you to do that is it forces you to slow down while you're eating. And because of that, you're going to feel full a lot faster. Because it takes about 20 minutes from your stomach to send the signal to your brain saying you're full, stop eating.
But another... I like being Kirby and literally inhaling my food.
Yeah, that's terrible to do on the portion control diet. Don't do it. But last but not least, the most important thing that people struggle with on the portion control diet is you're not allowed to eat or drink anything while you are eating. If you want something to drink, it has to be 30 minutes.
Sorry, you said you're not allowed to eat or drink anything while you're eating, and that just threw me for a loop for a second there.
Let me try that again. You're not allowed to drink anything while you're eating. That's what I meant. So 30 minutes before your meal, if you want to have, you know, a glass of water, totally fine. After your meal, 30 minutes. You have to wait. You can have more water or something to drink. But during your meal, the only thing you're allowed is if you need water to sip a little bit to keep food down your throat, that's okay. Nothing else. Reason why is water acts like a lubricant in your stomach and it forces food through the bottom of your stomach faster than if there's no fluid in there aside from the stomach acid, so you'll get full faster. And between doing that and then cutting back on the sugary drinks exponentially, to the point where, for example, if I want to have a Coca-Cola, let's say, I view that as a dessert. I have that by itself. I have nothing else with it. I do not have it with my food. It is its own thing, and it's something I cherish and enjoy all unto itself. And it's amazing how over time, because you only have it as that one treat periodically, how much you start to realize the average American soft drink is incredibly sweet. It is just loaded to death with sugar. And a lot of people I know have get to the point where it becomes too sweet for them and they stop altogether.
Yep. Hi. I don't drink sodas.
Yeah,
I pretty much drink coffee and water and that's about it.
Yep. And yeah. So, yeah, that's the big thing. If you do what I said, you don't drink during your meal. 20 chews per bite, weigh your food to keep it under a certain ounce. You can eat what you want with, you know, and lose weight. I averaged
You're still going to want to talk to a nutritionist before you go on to any of these diets, or at least do your research, because not everybody's created equally. Not everybody functions the same way. I don't think I could do what Storm's doing. And that may just be a personal thing. That may be, you know, you may have a health reason you can't do something like that. So it's important to take that into consideration. One thing that Storm's mentioned over and over again is the not drinking aspect while you're eating. I can understand and recognize that. Don't take that as a drink less command, though. Honestly, every diet you look at, you're going to see it recommends you drink 1.5 liters of water every day.
Mm. Yep. Absolutely.
I want to say something about another misconception a lot of people have, because the news read something and then they're over-exaggerating it and stuff. There's actually people still believe that I don't say artificial sweeteners are good for you, but people still believe that the artificial sweetener actually affecting your insulin level. But actually, no real study came to the conclusion that aspartame or I can't pronounce them all, but they don't really affect your insulin level in any way.
I will say
they came to the conclusion.
In the United States, Europe was smart enough to get rid of this shit, but in the United States, high fructose corn syrup, which is still in a lot of our food, even though it's going to eventually go by way of the dodo, one day, God. We hope. Your body, it's sweeter than regular sugar. And when your body goes to break it down, it doesn't know what to do with it. So it ends up storing it as fat. So even if you could burn it because you are working out and burning enough calories that day, because your body's getting this HCFC in it, scientifically speaking, there are studies showing more often than not, your body will literally still send it to fat cells. So just if you can eliminate high fructose corn syrup from your diet, you know, check the labels, nutritions. If you see HCFC in it, pick something else. That can help. It really can.
You should generally cut sugar in any form. So if you don't drink soda, that's what a lot of people lose weight just from cutting down on or just getting rid of any sugared sodas. Because sugar sodas, they have such an effect on you that you won't even believe it. And also your pancreas is thankful for cutting sugar.
So, 40 pounds. Fleeks, you're touching on something that I think we actually kind of skipped right on by, which is just the very basics of like a healthier lifestyle. Before you even consider going on a diet, before you do any of the motions we've talked about before, the best thing you can do, and you're going to find results on this alone, is cutting out fast food and cutting out soda, even diet sodas.
Yeah.
Cut those out of your life. You're going to already start feeling better. I can give you my word on that much. The first time I hit 200 pounds, it was because I was in a relationship that wasn't healthy. I was feeling depressed. After that relationship ended, I decided I need to make a few changes to my dietary structure. And the first thing I did was cut out all of the instant foods. I'll still go out and have a nice meal at a restaurant now and then, but it's not like a weekly thing. And I don't eat any fast foods, not Wendy's, not Carl's Jr., nothing. Like, they're gone. That alone dropped me 20 pounds over the course of probably 3 months.
For me, doing what Fleek said by cutting out, in my case, 99% of pop, because I used to go through, if I went to a restaurant, I'd have like 8 glasses of pop. I'm not kidding. I really would. So cutting out 99% of my pop, of the pop, just by itself, before I started going to the gym, before I started doing anything else, 40 pounds I lost just doing that. Yes, you're absolutely right, Fleeks. The pop, hell yeah. Though another thing, just to touch on what you were saying, Corey, which I passionately believe, is if you're not sure what to do, sometimes it's good to know what you're starting from. And if you have a good relationship with a doctor, if you don't, find a doctor. If you do, go to your doctor, get blood tests, etc. See where you're at, see what your blood pressure is, what your weight is, etc. And then start from there and get advice from them. See a nutritionist if you like, or, you know, go online, do your research, ask your doctor what they think of it, and kind of form a battle plan, and then set realistic goals. Because when you're on a diet, you're not going to lose 40 pounds a week. On average, you're going to lose, if you're doing it right, 1 to 2 pounds. That's it. It's slow but steady wins the race.
I can say, so the general things, if you want to lose weight, I would say the general things you need to do are, at first, cutting sugar. The second thing is you count calories. The third thing I would say that's important is finding ways to get stuffed faster, like to get rid of your hunger. Like, and that's something, actually, what scientists figured out a while ago was, actually, the taste of fat makes you feeling stuffed faster. So people, if you have, like, if you're hungry but not like super hungry, what can help you is you're getting a yogurt, for example, and putting a spoon of, like, a good oil in it, like, for example, a pumpkin seed oil or whatever, or maybe even olive oil, and mix it in, and it really makes you not feeling hungry anymore. Yeah,
I've heard that. I've heard that before, and I think, you know, giving yourself, you know, we're focusing on the food aspect right now, which is very important. It really is, because what you shovel in your mouth is going to affect you for sure. But there's so much more to it than just food, like I said earlier. And I think the next most important thing, in addition to what we've touched on here, is sleep. If you're not sleeping well, everything else screws up. And I mean everything. Your immune system, your ability to burn fat, your ability to focus, your level of happiness. Exactly. It all is directly tied to sleep. And I think most people in first world nations, especially the United States, because we work ourselves to death, we don't prioritize sleep. And I know, especially being members of this community, we're talking online. We love to play games when we get home, et cetera, and engage in this awesome virtual world. You got to set a time where it's night-night time. And for me, that means turning off the glowing screens, walking away from the computer, knowing that I'll resume those conversations tomorrow, and doing some kind of brain dead activity, such as reading a book, you know, those things really do exist, or a magazine, and just relaxing and letting your brain turn off.
Getting rid and of the glowing screen is probably a very critical part of that.
my secret to falling asleep is if I, no matter how I feel, this doesn't work for anybody. I mean, that doesn't work for everybody. Some can't sleep if they do that. But I am laying down in my bed, switching on Chromecast and watching speedruns of classic games, like from marathons. And it never fails to make me fall asleep.
If it's brain dead, where your mind can literally turn off while looking at it, I've heard of that before. Some people do that watching TV, too. They can throw on nighttime TV and just go to sleep. I can't.
There's a few rare types of people out there that can do that, and my best friend's dad is a doctor, and he's that way, too. He'll come home from a 14-hour day at work, go up to his room, turn on the TV, have it loud enough that we can hear it downstairs, but then we'll still hear his snoring over it. And it'll be absolutely brain dead stuff. It could be the infomercials channel, which probably explains why he has so many weird things that he buys all the time. But yeah, it baffles me that some people fall asleep to noise, like non-steady noise. I can understand, like, noise cancellation noise, like statics and ocean sounds and stuff like that. But
hey, let's be honest, Cor. Basically, I'm convinced that for our parents' generation, the home shopping network was invented as a sleep aid. I'm just convinced.
Oh, yeah. And then you got the whole subliminal messaging thing going for you while you're sleeping. Yes, you wake up and you're like, I need to buy this toy helicopter.
I need to buy my dog a sun pouch so he can get a tan.
And yeah. Then I need to buy a dog.
It's like they bought the sun pouch for the dog they have yet to get. Like you said, it's oh god, late
That's
night
how
on the
Sky Mall works.
Yeah, pretty much. They actually got me once. I ended up getting a weather alarm clock through Sky Mall. I still have it. I just thought it was the neatest thing in the world, and they would tell you what the weather is and have text and warnings would scroll across the bottom. And hey, you know, when you're on a Delta Airlines flight for 4.5 fucking hours before they had in-flight entertainment, it's like, well, I got nothing to do but look through this magazine.
And SkyMall will get you, man.
Yep.
I remember the Roombas, they were first announced on SkyMall. That's where they first came out. And of course they took off. Of course they would take off from that. No pun intended.
The next thing I think is most important is finding some way to center yourself. Some people, it's a form of meditation. They can just go and zen out and let go. Other people, it's going on a walk. I personally believe getting out of the house every day is good for you. Go to a park, walk around the block, go to a gym, whatever it is. But go out, do something that allows you to get fresh air and relax. Put the phone on mute and just take in your surroundings and allow your mind to disengage and just take in the world around you and relax. And even if it's only 20 minutes, just that time to recharge mentally while you're awake, you'll discover things about yourself. You may find a new passion. You may realize something you thought you liked. You really are wondering why the hell you're doing it at all. You may, discover you'd rather do something else. A lot of this time for self-reflection really allows you not only get yourself centered, stay on diet, lose weight, but also form a sense of true happiness. And a lot of people get momentary happiness, but not true happiness.
I agree completely. That's something I've kind of neglected from my life for a little bit, that wintertime does that to me. I just stop going outside, and then I have to get into the habit of going outside again. But yeah, walking for half an hour to an hour a day. You don't even have to be alone with your thoughts while you do that. You can turn on music. You can turn on podcasts. Some podcasts are well-timed to be an hour long or half an hour long. Ours is not, but you can still listen to ours while you're walking. But yeah, getting outside is important.
Also, what a lot of people say, but for me, myself, it just doesn't work. It's like, how's it called? To reward yourself for successful goals. The problem with that for me is I can reward myself even if I haven't reached a goal. You know what I mean? Like, I can buy this now. Why shouldn't I buy it if I want it? You know what I mean? So this psychological trick just doesn't work for myself, like self rewarding. That's it works.
Hey, discipline, self-discipline, being able to hold yourself accountable is essential to, from a dietary standpoint, from a life goal standpoint, what you do when no one is looking and it's only you, yourself, and you. That's what really matters the most. And if you can hold yourself to your goals and to your diet and to everything else you want to do when no one's looking,
the reward,
you're well on the path to success.
The reward is the result. So weigh yourself. That's also an important part of dieting. Weigh yourself every day before you eat something. Weigh yourself.
First thing, the best time to weigh yourself, first thing in the morning before you had anything to eat or drink. Best time.
Maybe after visiting the toilet. Maybe after visiting the toilet.
Well, yeah. If you have to drop a deuce, that's fine. But then go waste yourself.
Yes.
Now it's amazing how much weight you'll lose sometimes if you weigh yourself before the bathroom and after. If you want to do that for silly science, but it's a different conversation. The last piece I have to add to this, though I'm sure there's others, but the last piece I have to add to this is the work-life balance. This is something many of us struggle with. This is something that some of us can't help because, whether it's financially or just the nature of the work we're in, we have no control. But if you can control it, it's essential you allow yourself enough time off of work to be able to enjoy yourself when you do go into work. And for some people, they can work 60 hours a week and come home and they still have time for their life passion. For other people, 40 hours a week is all they can do before they want to, you know, go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Finding whatever your life balance is, figuring out a budget to make that work so you can keep your life in balance is going to allow you to have more happiness. Because, yeah, in some cases, you know, yeah, you work more hours, you work crazy overtime. Yeah, you'll get more money and more money to buy things. But what's happened to me and what's happened to other friends I've had is I've actually found that I am happier overall as a person, tightening my budget a bit and working a bit less, still full-time, but less overtime, and just enjoying my independent time, the time I have with my mate, the time I can visit my family, the time I can go travel. That means more to me than working crazy hours and just getting more paycheck to buy more material things. Figuring out what your balance is that makes you happiest is something you're always going to experiment with because it will change over time. But if you can find the balance between work, personal life, and even, you know, personal life, socializing with friends, as well as personal time just for you, all these things, keeping it in balance, that's the true ticket to genuine long-term happiness. You know,
I think in summary, we could say that, you know, diet is just part of a healthy lifestyle, and healthy lifestyle includes, you know, your own personal happiness. You have to take care of yourself first before you can take care of others.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. It's one, you know, I know a lot of good people that like helping others and they completely neglect themselves. And I keep telling them, how can you help someone else if you end up falling apart? You got to take care of yourself first. And if you practice what you preach, you'll inspire others to follow.
Can you hear Storm like tapping his desk like with conviction as he's talking?
Yes.
It's very powerful.
I didn't even realize I was doing it. No shit. I truly did not realize I was doing it.
But yeah, let's jump on to questions.
Okay. All right. First question comes from Reg Day. Question is what is the best motivator that got you exercising / made exercising more fun?
Podcasts. Sorry, but it's true. It's the truth. And driving, like while I'm driving, like I'm addicted to these damn things, man. But really, it helps the time go by really quickly. So you just put your headphones in, you go outside, and you just walk until that podcast is over, and you go home.
For me, when I am working out, I turn my mind off, and what I end up doing is I listen to music, I have playlists, etc. on Pandora, and my mind will start to like play this movie. I'll come up with some mental movie. And it's really neat. Sometimes, you know, Storm's an action hero. Sometimes I'm in some criminal drama. I'll just let my imagination run wild. And because my imagination's running wild, my brain's occupied, I can, say, go on an elliptical for an hour, sometimes 2 hours, like it's nothing because my brain is gone. And just allowing my brain the ability to turn off and do that is so appealing that that's the carrot on the cake for me. Is just doing that. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you go on the scale and you see yourself trending downward. You know, that's the icing on the cake. There you go. So it all works out.
So what's the carrot and what's the icing?
The biggest part of the cake, the center of the cake, is the imagination portion, and the icing is the weight loss.
You made both the carrot and the icing sound like appealing things. I guess technically
they both are appealing.
But usually carrots are kept on the end of a stick, as a motivator for, you know, forward progress. But you put your carrots on a cake, and I find that fascinating.
I do. I just go all in. You ever have carrot cake? It's actually pretty good if done, if you do it right.
Not a fan. Nope.
To each their own. Okay. What about you, Fleeks?
Let me think about it. I forgot it. Give me a second to think. I had it, but one thing I think that is motivating is, first of all, for example, I have a step counter on my phone, and my phone always tells me like, "Hey, you walked a lot today. Hey, try to walk 10,000 steps," and it's fun, especially at furry cons when you can like see, oh, I walked like almost 20,000 steps today. Oh, and then the other thing is like, oh, today I'm only walked like 100 steps. Oh, okay. And this is something if you can get visualized how much you moved today, that's one thing that can inspire you to walk more.
That definitely the other helps. I have that on my Pebble, and that does that for me. Gives me a summary of my daily activity.
And the other thing that is, don't do sports that isn't fun to you. I mean, like you said, like walking and having a podcast and enjoying the sun and stuff, or walking to some nice place. That's a fun thing. And another thing is like do sports that are fun for you. Yeah, like I don't know what's fun for you. I can tell you, but I get more motivated if it's a fun activity. Like I like to ride a bike. Pokemon Go was a cool thing to get you moving. For a lot of people, then like some people, like I heard, like ball sports, other like fighting sports, like karate or judo or whatever. Other ones like to have a work with swords or have other like competitive.
Fencing is definitely fun. More. If you can find a fencing thing and swords are your thing, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least try it. At least try it. Yeah, most people I know that are into fencing, if you tell them, hey, you know, I'm not sure if it's my thing, it sounds interesting, most would jump at the chance to allow you to experiment, and they'll show you the rope. Yeah, you'd have to rent equipment and stuff if it's your, you know, you don't do it regularly, but still, it's a lot of fun, especially if you have a friend or somebody that can kind of guide the way. It really is.
And there's another thing that we totally overlooked, I think, and that is do it with friends. Because friends, you're motivating each other, and you maybe even trying to one-up each other, like, hey, I kept longer on the training machine, or... It's always
if
it's
that's
always
how
better.
You work, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's always, if you booked, for example, a fitness studio together with a friend, and you're meeting up, you kind of have an, how is it called?
We've answered this question pretty thoroughly. question.
But Fleeks is right. If you have a partner, a buddy, a friend, your mate, if they go with you, you have someone to hold you accountable. And that really can be a motivator in itself. So yeah. Good job, Fleeks.
That's exactly what I wanted to say, but you said it better.
Yeah. Now, next question comes from comes from Sasha. The question is, how do y'all feel about the Engine 2 diet? I personally lost over 20 pounds in 3.5 weeks and also learned skills like how to decipher a nutrition label.
I don't know what kind
I'm
of diet this is.
I'm completely unfamiliar with it as
but,
well.
But he sounds the like a spam email. This question sounds like a spam email.
No, I actually did a little bit of research on this diet. It's very plant-based. It's if you like eating plant-based foods and you follow the guidelines of the diet, you will lose weight. There are people, you know, called vegetarians that eat nothing but plants and live a very healthy lifestyle. Now, this diet doesn't quite take it to that entire extreme, but yes, it is a good diet if you like plant-based diets. I hear good things. Though, of course, with any diet, your mileage may vary.
At least you get a lot of vitamins, I would say. And generally, what most of popular and working diets have in common is actually that they are reducing carbs. That's always the thing, and calories then.
Yep.
At the same breath,
practically. Even the portion control diet, because the portions are smaller, yes, you are still intaking less carbs. It's very true. Hats off to you and Core. I got to have my pasta once in a while or I'm going to chop someone's head off. I'm sorry. I love it too much. I'll eat a little bit less of it, but still got to have my pasta.
No, I feel you. I miss that. But it's okay.
Peter Corkley asks, eat your least favorite seed right now. So I guess the question is what is our least favorite seeds to eat?
Apple seeds. Least favorite, why would I have it with me right now?
My least favorite seed would be of the seeds you can buy and eat. I really don't care for sunflower seeds. I don't know what the rage is about it. It doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, I don't like apple seeds or stuff because they are full of cyanide and stuff, and that's not my thing.
Oh, that sounds great.
Actually, yeah, I really don't know.
Let's eat cyanide. Yeah, what the hell? Why not?
I really don't know any specific seed I don't like. I don't have a ranking list. But I know that my favorite seeds are macadamia. I think they count as seeds. Macadamias are...
I like pistachio.
Sure, we'll count it.
Yeah, let's count them as seeds.
Two very good choices. And I do like sunflower seeds. I don't like strawberry seeds. They ruin the strawberry.
I agree.
I don't mind them.
There's something about strawberry seeds. It just, they taste gristly and they take away from the strawberry.
I don't even notice them. What's wrong with you?
They add this texture that's like, it's not crunchy, but it's a texture. It's actual like little bits of grit in your mouth and it's not pleasant.
I never noticed that. Actually, really like I never mind, and I never thought about the seeds and freaking strawberries.
Hey, this just goes to show.
Some of us just have a more refined palate.
This just goes to show that you can have 100 different people, and every one of them is 100 different things they like and don't like. That's why grocery stores have 20,000 items.
I even think I would miss them if they weren't there because they are making strawberries, kind of.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm glad they invented, and that is, even though I'm sure nutritionists hate it, is seedless watermelons, because I fucking hate eating watermelon and having to spit out the seeds. Because inevitably you'd be chewing on the watermelon, you bite on a seed, and it's like, damn it!
That's part of the experience. That's part of the experience. But what I'm glad that it exists. Oh yeah, what I'm super glad that it exists are grapes without seeds, because grape seeds are fucking bitter and
disgusting.
And that's something. Yeah, grapes are
seedless grapes. Absolutely,
seedless grapes. That's the best invention of genetic technology or whatever they did
GMOs
to make them seedless.
Yay, GMOs, even though there's debate as to whether or not they actually hurt you, but
I think it's a breed and it isn't actually GMO, but you know what I mean. And
I don't want
to start to talk about the social implications of GMO. Let's move on, please.
I'm not talking about that. I just on the real quick, did you guys hear the news about MSG?
Metal solid gear?
MSG, the food item that a lot of Asian cultures cook with extensively.
Yes.
Okay.
Continue.
Basically, the news is, real quick, after many, many scientific studies, it actually isn't bad for you. Now, if you're allergic to it, of course.
You mean E621, say? Come on.
Oh, my God.
This isn't recent development. MSG is not bad for you. It was just more media hyperbole.
Yeah, it isn't. That's if people say it is, it's mostly how's this effect called? Placebo effect. Like if they get head, I guess, and stuff. I mean, you shouldn't eat too much of it because it freaking makes your senses of taste go bland. Like they go descend.
There's a reason everything at a Chinese buffet tastes the same toward the end. I'll leave it at that.
And that's why you can eat so much of it, because it makes you, the taste so good that you eat and eat. So actually, it doesn't help you to get stuffed fast, because it's so good that you can't even ignore your status of being stuffed, you know?
Yep. Sparhawk asks, and this will be a question primarily for you two, how is the paleo diet not just a eat whatever I get my hands on diet?
I'm not 100% familiar with paleo diet. I know it's all about reducing... I don't even know that I know that much. I've only had like one paleo meal, and it was very... it was kind of greasy, meaty vegetables.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah, it's practically also a diet. You're reducing kind of carbs, but also fruits are also kind of an important part.
Basically, the crux of the diet is, if a caveman didn't eat it, neither should you. I shit you not, this comes right from many of the websites that introduce you to this diet. And so basically, so eat nothing. Raw meat. Yeah, nothing processed, no candy, none of that shit. It has to be basically just really basic foods, and you got to make everything yourself. You can have some meats, you can have leafy greens, you can have veggies, but you know, no cereals, no pastas, no candy, no none of that shit, no pop. So yeah, just basic. You got to go down to the most basic.
Practically eating natural without condiments and without
condiments.
Condiments, thank you. Condemnments.
You're condemning you all.
I condemn you to the 57 hells of Heinz. Oh God! All right, and today's final question comes from Peter Kirkley. Question is, are griffins able to eat chili peppers because of their bird half, or are they too spicy for them because of their bird half?
We were going to guess that the second part there is cat half.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And the answer is, of course, they won't taste it because their tongue and beak is bird.
But oh God, will they feel it when it comes out?
Yes. Then they know, then they're wondering, why does it burn? Because they don't know about hotness. And then,
Yes, if the griffin is suddenly trotting, if the griffin is suddenly, you know, bopping around, squawking loudly because it is erupting fiery rainbow greatness from its rump, it knows why. And it will come hunting for you for giving it that evil chili.
Yeah.
So brace yourself. My dragon Drezel absolutely loves chilies, to the point that when Walmart by me introduced a new chili aisle where they have all these different chilies and peppers you can get for things, I had to buy like a bag of each different kind, and for 2 days had to smell my entire house full of the glories of chili while he was making the spiciest chili he could with them.
You see, that's the problem with spicy food for me is the spice makes my mouth water and makes me hungry. Like, it actively makes me hungry.
I personally, that's the only thing that wouldn't be cool about being a bird, that's tasting hotness, because I enjoy a good level of hotness, you know, and of spiciness.
I love me spicy Indian food for sure. Oh my God, is that good. So I know. I love spicy. I don't like overly, you know, if it's just pure fire, I don't like it. But if it's got heat and flavor, now that I like.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's fun to challenge yourself, but give it some flavor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and this concludes our questions for this week. Yeah, birds are great. Your mileage may vary, but even if one diet doesn't work for you, keep trying. Never give up. The best things come in life to those that are stubborn and willing to keep researching and trying new things.
Researching is a very key part of that, yes. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, you can always support us on Patreon, patreon.com/birdlifepodcast. You can always join us on Telegram, t.me/birdlife. We have a chat room there. You can join us and chat it up with other fellow podcast listeners and birds and non-birds alike. We have a couple dragons. I don't know how they got in there. And yeah, you can always subscribe to us on the RSS feed via Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thank you so much. Ooh. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Squawk, quack, be beeping.
I feel like it's been weeks since I said that. Bloopers this week. Enjoy the sounds of the chiff chaff. Yes, it's a bird.